Rana, it's out of the closet.
It is out of the closet and into their closets.
So cute. The Pride icon tees exclusively from Ask Rana with Ron and Brian are out and proud.
Limited edition.
Limited edition. It's
only
Pride Month.
Only for the month of June.
Correct.
Only for Pride Month. It
correct.
Is Brian's Pride icons tee.
And I wanted to go with all the inspirational, iconic women of television who've inspired me my whole life. So, the icons list is Devereaux and Cherish and Pope and Glickman and Brian.
I know the only reason I made the shirt is because you're worried I was going to fire you.
No, but I saved the best for last.
I'm still delighted to be on it.
Rana, you inspire me every day, and I feel like reciprocally, we're just understanding each other's sex lives more and more, and I'm so proud of
it. God. Well, I can't say anything about that during Pride Month. I just have to nod and say I think it's all fabulous.
It's all normal and fabulous. So,
but
that's
this
named,
shirt, yes. I just have to say, this shirt is so cute. It's our normal Helvetica shirt, and then at the bottom, the Brian is in the fabulous Pride rainbow, and even I'm going to get one of these shirts. So
take a look. It's on a shirt. It's Pride Month t-shirts.
Podswag.com/AskRana.
Yeah.
Brian.
Rana.
Yeah.
How are you? I have to tell you, I made a Negrana last night.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was time for a little fun and sophisticatedness out in here. In this,
I think a Negrana is basically a Negroni up.
Yeah.
Made with just the right ingredients. What ratio did you do for your Negrana?
But see, I don't know if I'm doing it.
I like it heavier on the gin, personally.
That's how I'm going to start doing it, because I did one-to-one-to-one with the sweet vermouth, the gin, and the Aperol.
So I
No, excuse me, Campari. Campari. Oh, God. I know. God, that was a... Wow, I really
sent
stepped in it.
Sent a chill up my spine.
I really stepped in
a
it.
A chill.
Aperol's for a spritz.
Yeah.
Campari is for a Negrana. But see,
exactly.
the secret to it... So I didn't do a Negrana then, because next time I do it, I'm going to do heavier on the gin.
So my secret for a Negrana is I do 2-1-1. Or 1.5-1-1 if you really don't, if you're not crazy about the gin taste. But I do 2-1-1. And I love, what kind
I'm
of gin
do it that way
use?
Tonight. Bombay?
What? Sapphire or regular dry?
Sapphire.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I bet that was delicious. I
what
like,
do you use?
Well, that's what I like, is I like a London dry gin, basically.
Yeah. What do you use?
I use Old Raj sometimes.
Okay. That sounds nice.
And I do enjoy Bombay Sapphire.
Well, maybe we could do a switch where you take the Bombay Sapphire and I take the Old Raj.
Yeah. And then over the weekend, over the holiday weekend, I didn't want to out and out advertise this because you can't get it everywhere yet. It's really just one of those things that if you know someone, you know. And Paul Feig has his own new gin, which is called Adding Stalls Gin. But because of the pandemic, it's not in stores everywhere yet.
And but you can buy it?
Well, you can buy it from, I believe, Duvin Wine and Liquors in Hollywood, West Hollywood, and they'll ship it to you.
Oh.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
But it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in every hotel and every high-end this and high-end that. But of course, as a close personal friend, Paul gave me a bottle. And I have to say, it's delicious. So it's a real botanical gin.
You know what I was thinking? Since he lives in California, right?
He does, yeah.
So I was thinking...
Oh, he's going to have him send you mail?
He could send me... I would love it if he could check my mail. I don't know what neighborhood he's in. But if he could send me a bottle, that would be great.
Well, you could just come over and you could try mine. But
I know, but I can't just try it, Rana.
Well, you know what? We'll have him on the show. When we have him on, you can talk to him about whether he's got a bottle for you or not.
Okay, that's a good idea.
You can ask him yourself.
Okay. I'd be happy to. I love his
work. I'm not going to do a friend of a friend ask. You know what I mean?
Not really.
Yeah.
But okay.
I didn't really think you did know what I meant.
Also, another secret to mine, which is a worse version.
Yeah.
I did mine. I know that you do yours up. I did mine on the rocks.
You didn't do it in a shaker? Oh, you did it on the rocks. Right. But so that's not a Negroni. So basically, you had a Negroni. You didn't have a Negroni.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you put a little bit of orange rind around the glass?
I did.
And did you put a twist in?
I did. I did do all that.
Okay.
But I think what I'm going to do is you'll give me that gin or a couple bottles or whatever it is, and I'll put it in the carriage house, and then I'll experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Negroni is served up. A Negroni is served in a regular glass, either with a giant ice cube or however you like it. But a Negroni is served up.
All right. Yeah. So everyone should get a Negroni.
And it's a 2-1-1.
And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I think everyone heard, you couldn't hear a pin drop when I said Aperol. It's Campari, folks.
Yeah.
It's Campari.
Hashtag Negroni. It's the drink of the summer.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
It's right. And by the way, all we ever talk about is wanting to be in Italy. So that's just one step closer.
Well, I will say this. We said we weren't going to talk about it, but we'll do it very quickly, which is that Brian downloaded HBO Max.
I sure did.
And then he started texting me from the carriage house, Rana, are you on HBO Max? Are you on HBO Max? And I said, always, I'm cooking. Stop driving me crazy.
I said, stop what you're cooking.
Because I had Looney to Tunes. Use up the shiitakes and the maitakes that I got, which I made a gorgeous, I did make a gorgeous mushroom pasta last night.
Oh, that sounds great.
And I even put a little sage in the oil so that the sage got crispy.
Oh, yum.
Which I reminded me of a wonderful, wonderful pasta I had at Babbo years ago.
Oh, sure.
Pandemic.
Pre Batali.
And pre Mario's pandemic as well. Yeah. But in any event, it's funny. All of those people, I think about that sometimes, all of those people who were forced out of their business, either from Me Too or whatever, and that they had to either settle with their businesses or sell their their half of the business to whoever.
It came out ahead financially?
They came out ahead.
That's so awful.
Because all those restaurants are going to collapse, and they will have gotten a piece of the business when
it's still
worth
something.
That
is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. That's how I think. What can I say? Yeah. In any event, Brian was saying to me, Rana, do you watch First Dates?
I mean, I was blowing up your phone, Rana.
And I had to laugh because I never would have known it was on there. So I'm so delighted. And
they didn't advertise any of the good stuff.
Turner Classic Movies. They have all of them.
All the Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, which you're crazy about, which should come as no surprise to anyone when they take your advice, which is jump off a cliff, jump into a convertible, set off some TNT, and then say to your husband, now do you want to take me out to dinner?
That's literally an entire episode of any number of those. You're absolutely right.
I mean, it is so obvious to me now that you're a Looney Tunes fan. It's so funny.
Love it.
But I mean, it's so, you are Wile E. Coyote yourself.
Thank you. He had a great body.
I think you've said that before.
That's horrible if I have. But maybe I have. I guess I think about it a lot.
He was broad-shouldered, skinny at the waist.
He really was very sexy.
A nice V, Wile E. Coyote.
And I'll tell you another thing. I hated the Roadrunner. Hated it.
He's a jerk. How do you feel about Bugs Bunny?
I have to be honest with you. I know where you're going with this. Because you don't like a mischief
maker.
Because
I don't like... Well, but I don't like Elmer Fuddy or the other guy.
I gotta be honest. They don't drive me crazy. I love all three of them.
Yeah.
It's just the Roadrunner that drove me crazy.
Well, because he doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk and he still gets one over on Wile E. Wile E to me has very kind eyes.
Okay. A sexy coyote.
Doesn't exist, actually.
In any event, they have all of these British reality shows, which Brian said to me, Ron, have you ever watched First Dates? And I had to admit to Brian my guilty pleasure when I'm flying on a plane, which has been a while now.
R.I.P.
Is I watch when I'm going over the pond. I have my meal and I watch First Dates.
It's the best.
It is so sincere. It is so low budget. That all takes place at the First Dates restaurant. And all it is people going on first dates.
And then what happens, Rana?
And everyone shows up tanked because it's England. So you're not an alcoholic, you're just English.
Yep.
People are falling off their stools at the bar before they even get to the table.
Yep.
And it either works out or it doesn't work out. And then the craziest part is that they have to pick up the check.
The production does not even pay for their dinner.
They don't pick up the check.
It's unlike
you might have
seen.
To watch it with subtitles. I would suggest people watch
because
it with
everyone
subtitles.
Talks. Is this East? Is that an East End thing?
Some of it's East End, and then they have a lot of Northern people also that come
and
on.
Where's Sussex? because they talk about a lot of guys are from Sussex.
Yeah. And, oh, no, you mean Essex.
Essex, that's what I meant. Yeah.
No, that's in Essex. Well, so there was a pretty big migration from sort of the East End to Essex.
I see.
And so that's why you get that. The Essex accent is a very specific accent. Yeah.
I love the way some
like
of these
the
women
show,
talk.
Like the show, The Only Way is Essex.
The Only Way is Essex, yes.
Towie, yeah, which was a great show.
I love how the women talk and they're just like, oh, you're fit, isn't it? And it's just like, they're barely like putting their mouths close together. They're just always like, yeah. And it's an accent parade that I've really never heard a British accent quite
it's
like.
It's unbelievable.
That. I love it so much.
And then they started the First Dates Hotel, which I hadn't watched. And then I made the mistake of watching last night. And I'm not kidding, Brian. I burst into tears.
Wait, because you weren't there. Because
I couldn't believe that the summer was coming. You watched the one in Italy. I watched the one in the south of France.
Yeah.
And they put this hotel together just in this adorable little medieval town. The cutest hotel you've ever seen. And all I could think about was that summer was coming. We're not going to get to go anywhere. But Marblehead is beautiful in the summer.
And I'm telling you.
But you'll be gone by then anyway.
I'm not going. Oh, but yeah. Marblehead plus.
No, you'll be gone by then.
No. I'm fine staying, Rana, honestly.
I think we both know you'll be gone by then.
Rana, you really underestimate my devotion. I'm telling you, I'm looking in your eyes and telling you,
okay,
I'm not
Brian.
Going
I know you're
going
to start your cross-country tour at some point.
Rana?
And you'll be saying to me, Rana, I'm in Des Moines. Rana, I have to, you know, this one I'm doing for Bismarck, South Dakota.
I'm not going on those road trips unless you're coming with me, Rana.
You'll do the cannonball run. You can do the whole thing in 26 hours. I won't even, you'll be, you know, stopped to go to the bathroom twice. Yeah, exactly.
No, Rana, right. I don't want you to worry about anything. I'll be here as long as you need.
Yeah, I think as long as I need.
As long as we need.
All right, let's do these follow-ups real
fast. We've got some
because we have a
ones.
Fabulous guest today. I'm so excited to talk to Cool Up.
She's the best. I have to say, I absolutely love it when we get follow-ups. It's my favorite.
I wish people would send us even more follow-ups. I
Me
love
too.
The follow-ups. My favorite part.
Couldn't agree more. So first, do you want to do one from the, someone actually, this isn't necessarily a follow-up, but someone heard us mentioned on Adam Buxton's podcast, which of course we love. We had Adam Buxton on the show.
He's
and
fabulous.
As we know, he's a very private person, but his podcast is so funny and he's so just, I don't know, he's such a really a cool guy and he has a big following. And this person said, hello, Rana, Brian, and the talking bird on Brian's shoulder.
Oh,
this is very nice. He never gets a shout out. Rana.
I was going to say the bird almost never, and the bird must be furious too.
Furious.
When you come home at night, is the bird? Did she ask about me?
I have to tell you.
Did they ask about me? And did they mention me during the show today? Was I on the show today?
This is something. Actually, this person unlocking, saying hello to the bird on the shoulder, now is unlocking for me. Why all the resentment for so long since we've been doing the show, and it actually is making sense.
The resentment from the,
from
bird,
the bird
to you?
Yes. Yeah. It is actually making sense. Yeah. I was introduced to Ask Rana and Brian recently on Adam Buxton's podcast and have since delighted in playing catch up as I walk in the Westchester trails, mask on, every day during lockdown. As soon as you mentioned Patreon, I researched and joined, of course, feeling doubly lucky to have twice as many episodes to enjoy. Wow. You both represent the gold standard of advice, recommendations, humor, class, and chemistry. Thank you for bringing such joy to my life. Anthea, a Brit living in New York for 36 years. XX.
Anthea.
But it seems like the accent's on the an.
Anthea.
Right?
Yeah, maybe. Okay, she spelled it phonetically. Anthea.
Yeah.
I'm right. So Westchester Trails, I wonder if she ever runs into Bill and Hill up there. Remember when Hillary lost the election, she was up there hiking every day in the Westchester Trails and people kept running into her?
Of course. Are you watching the Jeffrey Epstein documentary?
No. Is it good?
It's on Netflix.
I watched the trailer for it and then I thought to myself, you know what?
I know. That's where I'm at. I have not actually watched it yet, but people say it's very good. But it's just it's like, do I want that?
I don't know if I want all that information in my brain. It just seems very dark to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I have room for more darkness.
That's sort of where I'm at. I really only knew about Jeffrey Epstein and all this since sort of, the lid was blown off the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I was about to click it last night and I thought like, you know, I'm just going to wait a bit on this because I just don't know if I'm there yet.
Yeah. I just think I mean, I have absolutely no sympathy for Jeffrey Epstein. That's not what I'm saying. I just mean that it's complicated and it's dark.
Yeah.
And he also was a big fundraiser. And so
all I keep hearing
is that because you were seen with that guy, does that mean that you were involved in this or that? I don't know. I'd have to watch the whole thing. I just honestly don't have the bandwidth for that.
I hear you.
At this moment.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We have a follow-up.
And we should say, I do want to say this, though, because she said that she was part of the Patreon. I just want to remind people that in this month for June, for Pride Month, $2 from every Sauna Privileges membership is going to be going to the Trevor Project. That's our charity for June, for Pride Month,
and
which
charity,
is a fabulous, fabulous charity.
It is a five-star Charity Navigator approved charity. It's one of the best. It deals with suicidal ideations and thoughts and depression amongst LGBTQ youth. And it truly is just through and through one of those places where, like, you know where the dollars are going and you know the action is being taken. And it's a wonderful charity.
I know. I'm so excited about that. Okay.
All right, Ronnie, we got a follow-up from one of the cliffhangers.
Oh.
Hello again. I really appreciate you taking the time to offer up your sage advice. I reached out to a couple of other friends and everyone told me essentially the same thing. Oh, I guess we should say what this was about. So this was about...
Oh, this is the cousin's husband.
Exactly. Whether the cousin
on
should
Tinder.
Say...
My cousin's husband's on Tinder.
And he is on Tinder saying something like, in a
I'm
terrible
in a loveless,
marriage.
I'm in a loveless marriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Rana was spot on. Both my cousin and the Tinder jerk have children from previous marriages, and yes, they've only been married about 5 years. Anyhow, I told my cousin, the one I speak to regularly, who thanked me and met up with her sister in a parking lot and broke it to her. She confronted her husband, who said he was drunk when he made it and totally forgot about it.
Made the profile.
They're still together and working on it.
I love that. I'm going to start telling people I was drunk when I did something. And Oh, I was drunk when I did it. Don't worry about it.
I can't think of anything that... I mean, I just can't think of any being drunk that would make me create a profile.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that's
also,
just
it's
fine.
Just a thing to say.
It's
to
a
get
thing
out
to
of
say.
To get out of it. Yeah.
Correct. They're still together and working on it. I hope for the best, and I'm glad the cat is out of the bag. At least, that's true. This person now has a clear conscience about it.
Yeah.
At least my cousin won't be completely caught off guard if it doesn't work out. Once again, thank you for everything you do. I can't emphasize enough how much I adore you two and look forward to the shows every week. See you around the carriage house. Kiss, kiss, newly unburdened. And then she did five hearts that were the different colors of the rainbow, much like the Pride Icon t-shirt.
Brian's Pride Icon stay.
Correct.
Podswag.com/AskRana.
That's right.
Fabulous. And then we've got this. Okay. We've got one more here.
This one's great.
Hi, Rana.
Yeah.
Just Rana. That's just to me.
You know, Rana, I see it in black and white. You don't have to constantly.
Hi, Rana. So, Brian, if you want to go get a drink or go to the bathroom or whatever while this is happening, you can.
Thanks.
I wrote the Brunello iTunes review and love what you've done with it. I'm applying my Corona time wisely and writing extra verses.
Terrific.
Just wanted to send it off your way. No big whoop. Oh, and hey, Brian.
This person's rubbing it in.
Well, they did. And now they've got new verses here they want us to do. Should we take a little turn here and do these new voice verses?
Yes.
Okay. So the original was Brunello, Loro, Hermes, McQueen, Celine, Valentino, Moschino, Prada, Altazara, Rana.
Fabulous.
Next verse. Me again? You
go. I think you're going to do all of them. I think you should do all of them, Rana, because I can't pronounce some of these. I'm not even kidding.
Bottega, Louis, Goyard, Pucci, Gucci, Ferragamo, Manolo, Oscar de la Renta, Rana. Lucien, Pelletfinet, Mugler, Moncler, Yves, Dries, de Mühlmeister, Jean-Baptiste, Rana. And what's the very end?
But not Gabbana. Go ask Rana.
Vogue. That's pretty fun, I have
Rana,
to say.
I have to be honest with you. In that third verse, I have not heard of one of those things. Moncler, I've heard of. And Eve.
Okay.
I've never
Eve's,
heard of...
Eve is Eve Saint Laurent. Dries is Dries Van Noten. De Mühlmeister's and De Mühlmeister's a fabulous...
You can say that so easily.
Fabulous Dutch designer. Jean-Baptiste Valli. of course.
And who's Mugler?
Terry Mugler.
Oh, okay. It's German.
Thierry Mugler. No, he's French, actually.
And who's Pelafinaia?
Lucien Pelafinet is not really for me, I have to be honest.
All right.
But let me tell you something. I forgot I have this other ringtone that I'm going to release to the public, too. So
what?
we have the ringtone that they can still go on our Linktree, on our Instagram, and download the Brunello ringtone, which is fabulous.
Yes.
But I have another version, which I'm the only person in the world that has this version.
Oh, my God. It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And I'm thinking about, I know, right? This is the act. And I'm thinking about releasing it to the public. I'm going to play it for you right now. This is what rings when my phone rings.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I think I can play it here.
Should I call you? It does make me want to dance.
Brunello, Lauro, Emez, McQueen, Celine, Valentino, Moschino, Prada, Altazara, Magella, Brana. Yes.
What do you think of that?
That's my ringtone.
So good.
When my phone rings, I mean, I'm sure Madonna's going to sue the pants off of us, but I'm going to put that one up. So we'll call that the Brunello Vogue version 2 or whatever. So take a look on the link tree and that'll be up there too. And it's very simple. All you do is you download it, you drag it over in your iTunes, you drag it over to the ringtones in your library, and that's
Add it on your phone.
And I put the directions up there, and they're very complicated. People think they're complicated, but they're not. You just drag it into your library. That's it. All right.
We've got to get to this guest. She is truly one in a million. One in a bajillion. I'll tease it that way.
Yeah. I have to say I'm very excited. It's Pride Month.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like it's our job to keep the party going.
That's correct. We're going to keep it going, Rana. You and me and Anita Baker.
And Kulop V.
And
Kulop
V.
Vogue.
Yep.
Okay. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute. Testing. Are we all
one,
here?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. We're here, Rana. We're here.
I can't get over it.
I can't get over it for one second.
She's an actor. She's a writer.
More than that,
she's a director.
A showrunner. She's a producer.
She's a documentarian, Padme.
Who charted? Origin story. She crosses mediums
and
genres.
Yeah. Right, and an active retweeter.
And an active retweeter.
If we're going to be current, an active retweeter. Retweeter and retweeter.
Sure. One goes with the other, really.
Who you're retreating to in order to retweet. Is that right?
That's right. So that I can retweet another day.
I feel like we're finding you on a meditation retreat right now. When I look at your background, it looks very calming.
Oh.
You have candles on the mantle, I think.
Yes, all of my saints, George Michael, Prince, and Keanu Reeves.
George Michael, who your dog is named after.
That's right. George and Michaela. Thank you.
Yep, that's right.
She's didn't know that.
Two dogs. Mm-hmm. George and Michaela. What's the other one called?
Molly Ringwald.
That's right. She's not on the mantle, though. I guess she doesn't have a saint candle yet.
It takes a long time to become a saint, Rana.
Cool. Well, it doesn't take...
It takes a miracle.
There's a certain amount of documentation they have to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you can file your papers while you're living. I can't file my papers now. I'll have to wait until I'll have you file them for me.
Is Mother Teresa finally a saint now? There was something that happened to her.
She might be, what's it called?
Battened?
Beatified.
That's it.
But not a saint quite yet. The steps.
Kula,
I didn't know that.
You could make a documentary about that.
Well, Mother Teresa actually had a complicated history.
That's right.
Yeah. She wasn't exactly Mother Teresa. Let's put it that way.
Nobody is, not even her.
No.
Wow. Okay, that's look. Deep. That's real deep.
We brought you here today.
Yes.
Because there are people that have real problems in this
world. No kidding.
Okay.
And we've got a guest today who has solved problems.
Huh?
Well, just you're not listen.
Created a few, probably too.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, but this is someone who is changing the way things are run in Hollywood a little bit. I mean, she is. She is a woman of color making decisions, running shows, doing things that I don't know. She's pushing the needle in a way that many are not. Can I say
that?
Thank
you for saying that.
You're welcome. I mean it. I
appreciate that.
Your documentary was so moving. Bajillion Dollar Properties is so funny.
It's really true.
She's two just extremes. One of those people. Completely.
Two extremes. And I loved, I mean, I'm a huge Bajillion fan. So I'm not just saying that because I was a guest.
That's right.
I am a huge Bajillion fan. I mean, that show, you know what? It's so funny because comedy now has become people saying, oh, that's funny. Instead of making you laugh.
Yeah. Yes.
And Bajillion is a joke a minute. It's an absolute joke machine. And everybody who's on the show is so talented and so funny in their own right that you can't, whenever each character pops up, you think, I can't wait to see what this person's going to do. In that Christopher Guest sort of way, where you think, oh, good, now I get to spend 5 minutes with this jerk. Watch what he's going to do. Yeah.
And then you have Origin Story, which is probably the most personal thing anyone could ever do, is make a documentary about where they're from and who they're from.
Deeply moving.
Is that still on Amazon?
It's still on Amazon and across all platforms.
Is Amazon still in business?
It's doing the best.
Oh, they are?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
That, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They are.
So they didn't have to throw anything off the service while they made to make room during the pandemic.
No, they've been taking
plenty
more
of room.
On.
Plenty of room.
Rana, did Jeff Bezos invite you for 4th of July again this year? She never goes.
Really?
It doesn't.
Is that a stance?
All right. I'm not crazy about Lauren Sanchez. I'm not going to lie to you.
Who's
really?
The guest?
And that's his new lady.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
The one who received the texts.
She's one of those people that when you're in the same room with her, she just laughs too loud. So everybody looks over to see what she's doing.
I see.
Yeah.
So your problem isn't with him at all.
Well, do I have a problem with him? Sure. But I mean, I read the Washington Post, you know.
Okay, yeah.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Okay, we've got to get into some
of these
letters.
This is enough already.
And that was what I meant 20 minutes ago when I said, we're here to give advice. Okay. That's what I said.
So much fun.
That's not why we brought you here. We brought you here to answer some questions for some of these people who are going out of their brains.
True.
During all of this.
I hope I can be of service.
Or you will be. I know.
If you can't, it doesn't matter. Just say what you think, and either it'll be right or it won't. And that's all we can do in this world.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I am excited though. These questions are perfect. I'm excited for Kulap's take on all these questions. I have to say.
Would you like to read the first one, Rana?
You go right ahead, Brian. I can see you're all queued up over there.
Okay. Dearest Rana, Brian, and esteemed special guest, that's you, Kulap. About 9 weeks ago, I lost my full-time corporate job due to coronavirus. Hmm. About half of my team was let go suddenly over the phone. Of those let go, I was the most senior with the most experience, even having an MBA. However, some of the staff who were retained had somewhat poor performance reviews and frankly didn't make a ton of sense. Oh, well. I'm ready to move forward into a new chapter of my life. The point is that all of this happened...
...
Sure.
Yeah.
Moving backwards. The point is that all of this...
I'm ready to move it forward as soon as... We figure this out.
Exactly.
As soon as I do one more thing, I'm ready to move forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
The point is that all of this happened while we were working from home, and for the past 2 months, we've all had our belongings in the empty office.
Okay.
When our stay-at-home order is lifted, I'll have to go back to the office and clean out my desk and return my computer with just my boss, who let me go. Okay, so the two of them are going to have to go in. While I have this incredibly awkward hour interaction, how can I leave a lasting impression that this was an incredible mistake on their part? Do I pull the pretty woman line saying this was a big mistake? Do I act like I'm not thrilled to even be there? How do I create a nonchalant atmosphere that makes it seem like this wasn't the hardest 2 months of my adult life? Brian, I'm sure you have some very practical exit strategies to leave a lasting impression. Thank you, JB.
I said good day, sir.
That's what they're looking for.
Rana's advice. Truly, everyone makes fun of my advice. Your advice is first is always to watch Tootsie, Rana.
They are looking for old-fashioned satisfaction. That is what the word was called in colonial times, when you would challenge a man to a duel and you would say, I demand satisfaction, which means that both of our reputations are on the line and one of us is going to come out on top here. But anyway,
it's not too easy to get your hands on a saber right now, Rana.
It's well, it would be a dueling pistol, Brian, if you must know. But
that's probably
anyway.
Easy to get your hands on. Let's face it.
Or is it it's a champagne saber and you saber a champagne bottle
sure.
right in his face.
Real Housewives of Washington,
that's a
D.C.
gorgeous idea.
Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. That's what Tarek, what's his name, used to do. That was his big move.
If there were a genie that granted me 3 wishes,
it would be to be at one of their parties.
One of them would be to bring all that cast back for another season. That would be one of them.
You know what? Who popped up the other day, and I thought to myself, I can't believe cameras have been following them for the last 5 years. Alex McCord and Simon from the original Real Housewives.
Did you watch Real Housewives of New York ever, Kula?
No, I don't.
They were the worst looking couple.
The slimiest.
I mean, they were the. Anyway, all right, Kula, what do you think about? What do you think about this? The whole situation.
Well, the whole situation. I feel this person was let off because this person makes more money than everybody else.
Correct.
That's
too expensive.
Too expensive. That's unfortunate, to say the least.
Yeah.
The nonchalant part of it, you know, do you do the, I don't know, instead of talking to them, you do the whole sign thing where you what was that from that movie?
Love Actually.
You Love Actually it, and you do something like that. Force them to read it in front of you.
Because it's Christmas.
That's a great idea.
Just, hey you, next card.
Bob Dylan did it too. A lot of famous people have done it, Rana. I think you're right, though. I think that by the way, that would actually be great to not only have someone eat their words, but say them. Like, to really just be like, say this out loud, what you did to me and how I feel.
I know, but I would, if you were the boss, you'd just say, I'm not going to read that.
And then you go, I know you just said that you're not going to read it. I'm the signing.
You don't have to read it. I mean, you don't have to read it.
God.
Out loud in particular. There's no camera watching you. Like,
that's true.
Next card.
I feel two different ways about this. I do think the only way to win in a situation like this doesn't feel like winning. And that is you act like you don't care. That it maybe wasn't a big deal to you, that you've moved on. However, I do think that if ever there were a time to get some answers about something or to vent some frustration, this is the time to say, like, was this a money issue? Or was it a performance issue? Or, you know, and you could even just, as long as you're calm about it, I think you can say the last 2 months have been really difficult for me because I just can't get my head around it. I think, though, if you go in there with anything more than a calmness about you when you ask those questions, it's just going to come off badly.
Well, I agree with everything you've both said. And I think that the real focusing point here is, what do you want? Because in some ways we're talking about this like it's a breakup, but it really is a professional situation. So you have to also think about your reputation and your future. And so you'd be a fool not to realize that this person is going, someone might call this person for a recommendation at some point and say, what, you know, you always have to think about, did you leave when it's possible? And there are situations where it isn't possible and where, you know, I'm not hearing here this guy's this boss is the worst boss that ever lived and treated us terribly forever and da 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 da. I think Kulop's original point was the point, which is they made a budgetary decision. And I'm sure it hurt that no one called you and said, Listen, you're fabulous at your job. You're the most qualified person on staff, but you cost X amount of dollars and we can't really carry that overhead anymore. And that would have been, you wouldn't have been happy about that either, but it would have been nice to have that satisfaction, which is, it has nothing to do with you or your performance. If anything, we think you're fabulous. We wish we could keep you. We can't afford to keep you. And that's why we're keeping this one and that one who do half a job, but can just keep the boat afloat. We don't need all this. We don't need all this overhead. And that would be the, I mean, you could, if that's all you want to hear, that your ego is bruised, that you were fired and blah, blah, blah. It's also something that you sort of have to deal with on your own, which is, are you good at your job? Do you already know that? Is there some sort of underlying insecurity about what your value was to them or whatever? That's sort of something you have, that's work you sort of have to do on your own, which is, why do I care? If I know I did a great job, if I know I brought in X, Y, and Z, if I know there isn't a legal implication here in terms of, well, they owe, if it was a sales job, they owe me X because I brought in this kind of business. You know, if there's anything like that to wrap up, then you should deal with it. But on some level, this is business. And it would be nice if the boss had acted better. But also, this all happened in the middle of the pandemic. I mean, I can only imagine that the stress the boss was feeling about just trying to keep the doors open. So I think you have to think about what you want. If it's just that your feelings are hurt and you want someone to tell you you were good at your job and they're sorry to see you go, I mean, you can sort of ask for that.
Yeah,
you can go in and say, I just need to know, was it something I did or was it that I was too expensive? And I need to, and I am curious. I want an exit interview of some kind. I want to know.
But I still think that she should
take in. Do you really want to know?
And I still think no matter what, she should take in a bunch of shopping bags with her.
And take what?
A la Pretty Woman. Nothing. She just had just been shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
So that she's got, in other words, she's got them as props. So she's got to get out of there to get a shopping home anyway.
Exactly.
Just like in the movie.
Exactly.
She's fine. You could have had all this, these sales. Yep. Yeah.
All these Chanel bags I just bought while unemployed. Cool up. Have you ever let go of someone or been let go?
Let's see. Yes, I have been both. I was fired from Macy's because I had gotten into a wrong crew of sorts when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I took a stolen check and I put it in my account and went on a shopping spree.
Good for
so
you.
So that was a rightful let go.
So you didn't have to ask why.
No. I understood when I was in the security office in around monitors and was being dressed down to give names and that I would I was told that I would rightfully have to pay restitution. And I thought, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Busted is another way to look at it.
Busted.
And when you had to let go of someone, such an awkward thing. Was it amicable? Did you tell them why? Or
well,
did they
I guess,
know why?
Okay, so maybe I didn't personally let them go, but we had a horrible post-supervisor the first season of Bajillion. I guess I didn't have to do it. I guess that was Paramount who had to,
right.
to come in and the unions had to come in.
This was not a performance-based. It does not sound like this was a performance-based issue. You have to figure out what's at the heart of the issue. The letter writer has to ask themselves a deep question about what is it you want to know? Do you want to know if this is a performance issue or is this totally personal and your ego's bruised because you thought you gave so much to this company and you were so great at this job and that they can live without you? And the truth is almost everyone is replaceable in every job. And that in this moment, this boss had to make some tough decisions.
And then
nobody
has job security. No. Even though,
and it would have been nice if they could have taken the moment to be nice and explain it to you in a nice way. But they're just trying to keep their business afloat.
Rana, this is feeling very personal. I'm getting very uncomfortable. I have to be honest with you.
Brian, this is probably a good time to let you know that Cool Up is my new co-host on the show.
You know what?
I'll tell you what, it is performance based.
Well, here's
and we appreciate everything you've contributed to the show, Rana, up until now, but you're too expensive, first of all.
No, Rana.
You're eating me out of house and home at the carriage house.
Listen, and by the way, I want you to know that when the power went out, in the long run, I probably saved you a few bills. So I'll take it in cash.
That might be true. That might be true. I'll take it in cash.
I also want to say,
and I still owe you for the beefsteak tomatoes.
You do.
Brian keeps sending me a Venmo request. We went to Trader Joe's. He picked up beefsteak tomatoes I never asked for. And he won't eat them for some. Or I guess you do eat them.
I freeze them sometimes, and then I eat them.
Eat them like an apple.
Like an apple.
And eats them like an apple.
Yeah.
And he keeps sending me a Venmo request for $72 worth of tomatoes.
Yeah.
Which apparently includes gasoline and his time waiting in line outside the store.
And my nerves while I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also want to say, even though
you're the only one that eats it, though, is what I'm hearing.
I never even asked for them.
But I
because he thought, he said, Rana, do you want me to pick you up some groceries while I'm out? And I said, not really. So, okay, I'll do it. And then here we are. Yeah.
And you hate Trader Joe's. So
everyone knows that. I love Trader Ho-Ho's, though.
She does.
JoJo's at Christmas. That's what I like. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not going to bring you the mason jar of spicy cake mix with little marshmallows in it and a few, what do you
spicy?
Call it?
Spicy?
You're making cake jars now?
Yeah, it's just starting. Well, I bought some. Anyway. But okay. Well, let's move on. I don't think it's that funny, Rana.
I think this letter writer needs to do a little soul searching, is what I think, and figure out what it is you're really trying to get. But put a pin in the idea that you have a reputation and that you have a long life to live as a professional, and that you got to be a little careful here about the way that it's nice to leave on good terms if you can. Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and curated guest. That is accurate.
It's true.
It's pronounced Kulop.
My husband and I recently moved into our first home. We've exchanged a few pleasantries with the neighbors, but not much more than a good morning or welcome to the neighborhood. One thing we especially like about our new home is the backyard pool. It's nice to swim, sit by the pool. It's not like we can go to many of the places we normally would at this time. Plus, my husband and I have talked about using the pool for a cocktail party with our friends post-quarantine. Recently, I was contacted by a neighbor who asked if her elementary school-aged daughter could swim at our house this summer, as no other pools will be open. I understand that these challenging times, there's a lot of missing letters in this, words in this email, but I understand that these are challenging times, and as the new neighbors, we want to get along. Plus, as the only gay couple in the neighborhood that we know of, we sometimes feel like gay ambassadors and wonder how it would sound if we said that we want to keep our pool as an adults-only space.
It wouldn't sound great.
My question
is
this.
That sounds like porn.
Get a sign for the fence that says adults only.
Adults only. Yeah,
adults only play area. My question is this. Are we terrible people if we tell her no, and that we don't want her and her 10-year-old daughter over to swim? We're just settling into our first home and don't want to be known as the neighborhood grouches or the antisocial weirdos. Thank you, Eric.
Well, I have been to Rana.
Well, Kulop has a brand new house. Party, yeah, she's got a brand new gorgeous house.
It's
with
like
a gorgeous
that
pool
is like the Great Gatsby.
The whole
anyone
situation
who's
is
anyone
stunning.
Would want. I'm not kidding. Anyone who's stunning. It's so dramatic, the view of it. It's so gorgeous. Anyone stunning. Who's anyone wants to swim in that pool. Yeah. Kulop, what would you do?
This came up yesterday. We are deciding that it's interesting, but our friends with kids, we're going to invite them to use the pool.
Because in what capacity?
We wouldn't that they can come to the house. They can use the pool. They bring their own towels. There's a bathroom downstairs that you can use.
And so you don't necessarily have to host them.
No. Yeah. I will probably be inside.
Good for you.
Just with binoculars.
Yeah.
Oh my!
I'm telling you, Great Gatsby.
Do you have an idea about are there hours that it would be okay that they come? Can they come anytime they want?
Definitely.
Yeah, we're going to need notice.
Is there a key needed for the gate? What are the parameters?
I can open the gate remotely. meaning with a remote.
Great, perfect.
Meaning I open and I click, click, the gate opens. They can drive on up. But yeah, I would think people wouldn't be here all day.
Yeah.
But are you planning on saying if you want to come between 10 and 11, that's fine? Or are you saying, yeah, we're home?
Truly, this is something that has come up since yesterday. I just figure it'd be a case by case basis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're willing to have children in your adults only play space.
Oh, I don't view my place as an adults only play space. Mm-hmm. There's a play set. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So please, no one's using it. So,
well, I have a feeling someone else who has a pool here is an adults only person. Rana.
Who would that be?
I think it might be you.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, these guys sound a little persnickety to me. I'm just going to say that. The idea that they said they were saving their pool
for
a cocktail party post-quarantine. They're saving the pool. It's a pool. Yeah. I mean, you're saving it. What does that mean?
Because they just want the pool to be spotless and beautiful and clean so they can invite their friends over and be like, look at what we have, which is, I think, kind of a nice idea.
And I do get that they don't want to be the community pool. Like, I'm not saying my neighbors can use the pool. Right. I'm saying people I know, dear friends, who have kids and maybe don't want to go to the beach and maybe don't, you know, it's tough right now. This might be a nice outlet. Like, but to kind of, I get not wanting it to be the community pool. I do understand that.
To me, it sounds like they've already made the decision. They don't want anybody in the pool. They want to feel like they can go outside when they want to go outside and that there's not going to be somebody out there. And so it also sounds like they're not people that want people over all the time. And so, I mean, never was there a better excuse than the pandemic if you don't want people to come over to your pool, where you just say, well, it's a little tricky in case you decide to entertain, but you could just say, we're not entertaining. Right now, we're not having people over. But you don't want to back yourself into that corner because actually in the pandemic, pools are one of the only, a private pool is one of the only spaces where you could have someone. Brian came over, for instance, he was on the other side of the pool. Yeah. And I was on the other side of the pool. And it was quite pleasant to sit outside and to talk, but to be on the other side of the pool.
She made me a margarita. It was so good.
Oh.
Yeah.
I made him a blood orange.
A blood orange.
Blood orange margarita.
It was so good.
But you are sort of defining yourself in a way in this relationship with the neighbors. I mean, personally, I don't care if my neighbors like me or they don't like me.
I'm with you.
I mean, I want them to like me in terms of I'm a good neighbor.
Yeah, you want to be respectful.
I trim my
trees.
I'm respectful.
I'm not loud. Yeah.
But my home is my private space. If I want to invite the neighbors over once a year, for a party, that's one thing. But there are neighbors who I have, I mean, this is a boundaries issue, who I have neighborly relationships with, where if something's going on the street, we can have a chat about that and we can all make a collective decision, but that I've never had them in my home and I don't plan on having them in my home.
I'm sort of surprised at this, and maybe if I were actually in this situation, it'd be different. I feel like they should let her come over. I feel like this is a really difficult time for kids. And I don't know. I think if there's a way a la Kulop to not have to see them or, you know, really have to worry about entertaining them in any way and really doing it like an hour once or twice a week or something.
Well, maybe part of the problem is that this neighbor said, can we use the pool this summer? Instead of saying, would you mind if we came over for a swim?
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that's
also,
part of...
Also, could they blame this on an insurance thing? In other words, like, do they have to... I don't know.
I mean, you could, but then you're that... But, I mean, yeah, what is that? No. You know, then you're that person.
Right,
but,
totally.
I mean, I think you could say... I think it's bold for the person to say, can we use your pool this summer? I think
that's a little
crazy. But you could say, you know... We're going to be, well, they don't want anybody there when they're
can't
not
even
there
say
either.
It.
But no, because I would have the neighbor, but I they don't really have a relationship with this neighbor is the problem.
That's true.
I would say to my friend, I would have it all be on me, which is, would you like to bring so-and-so over on Saturday for a dip? And I would want my neighbor to be satisfied with that. But the fact that the neighbor has asked, it just sort of this idea that they're afraid it's going to become a regular thing.
That is pretty obnoxious. And I forgot about that. She said exactly like that. And I have to say, my feeling is if someone asks questions like that to strangers, the neighborhood probably doesn't like this person all that much anyway. Like, I don't know who you're even hurting.
I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting your kid to have somewhere to take a dip. I get that. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
But I think you'd say...
But
I
you're
think
right,
you
for the summer? I mean, come on.
You could say... We'll let you know. Oh, okay. We'll let you know a day that's good for us for
that's
her to come
true.
Over.
That's true.
And then you could text them and say, how about Thursday from 11 to 11:30? And set, and I mean, 11 to 1, whatever. Put a time on it so that when it's 1 o'clock, it's time to go. But everyone knows I'm no stranger to throwing people out of my house. If I think the party is over and I'm done, I say, okay, the party's over.
And sometimes people
You've
think
had
she's
your
kidding.
Fun. Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. I tell children, I throw children out of my house all the time. And they look at me like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
She
you were here for
kidding.
2 hours. Yeah. You had 4 popsicles.
Sure.
You took a swim. You ran all over the place. Get out of here. You're done now. You've had your fun. Rana,
I could,
Rana
I would also
is closing
say,
up shop.
Sure. The pool is closed.
When Brian came over, I said, okay, I've got to watch 90 Day Fiancé. Now it's time for you to leave. And he said, I understand. And then it took another
it's
hour and a half
to
get him out of there. But yeah.
No, I know because I had to tell you.
A story. Can I just tell you one thing, Rana? Can I just tell you one thing?
I wanted to recap. We were supposed... I just finished Chesapeake by James Michener, and I wanted Rana to hear all about it.
No, Chapter one.
Land is formed. I just want to say that I think also you could get something out of this by this way.
Ooh.
You could say to the lady, I plan on having... a very fancy cocktail party with very cultured people when this is over. And they're all going to come and it's going to be so fun. It's going to be very dignified. Your little daughter can come over and swim, but she better be working up a synchronized swimming routine with a friend because the day my cocktail party happens, there needs to be a
honest.
Friend. And if you think that your daughter can put that together, we're in business. And if you don't, then you need to find her talent and find it quick because children don't have a future anymore. They don't care.
Well, but Brian, that means they're going to have to practice in the pool.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They'll have to do their Busby Berkeley routine, practice in the bathtub. You know what?
That's true.
This neighbor,
okay,
the neighbor should go get a slip and slide. That's my personal opinion on this. I mean,
totally. Or one of those little fill-up.
I wish we had a little more detail because I keep going back to the part where the neighbor contacted him and said this summer, as opposed to saying, because I don't like that person.
I don't mind
the person that says, are you around this weekend? Would it be a terrible inconvenience if we just came for a quick dip? And you could either say, you know what? We're not really having people yet. We're just being very careful about quarantine. We'll let you know. That's the other thing you could say is at the moment, we're not having people. We'll let you know when we're opening up our circle a little bit. And then we'd love to have, you know, Veronica come for a swim or whatever. But so that's one way to handle it. And then just never contact them until they hear you having a cocktail party with 25 of your friends.
And if you really want to be shitty, you could be like, yeah, that's no problem. Can I borrow your car for the weekend?
Can I borrow your car for the summer? Because I don't feel comfortable driving my car to the grocery. It's summer that makes me think I don't like these people, like the neighbors.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do like the idea of just dropping a kiddie pool in their front yard and walking away.
I'm a big fan of the slip and slide. All you need is a hose. Hours of fun.
Do you slip and slide, Rana?
If you want to build me a slip and slide in the backyard and you can handle the sight of me in a bathing suit, Brian, get ready.
Kidding?
Get ready.
But the
ready.
Rash, it hurts at a certain point.
And if you got the water going at the right pace,
okay, all right.
No issue. And my guess is you could get an environmentally friendly soap probably as a little bit, get a little extra slide in there.
Ooh, a little Mrs. Meyer.
But you know who knows the answer to that is Jerry O'Connell, because I saw that he built a huge slip and slide in his backyard on the Instagram. I saw that.
What do you mean, Bill? Don't you just put it out?
He had like a double long one.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
All right. Okay.
All right. Hello, Rana and Brian and Kulop. Firstly, I just want to thank you both for making this quarantine. Well, that's three people in this, but I guess they mean me and Rana Kulop. Firstly, I want to thank you both for making this quarantine bearable. She is too, though. Two episodes a week. Excuse me. It's kept me sane. I do need to give some context before my question. I'll try to keep it quick.
They never do. How many paragraphs is this letter?
40. 17. Yeah. It's actually James Michener writing in, and Michener, excuse me.
Is it Michener, not Michener?
I say both. I don't know which it is. All right. I do need to give some context before my question.
Right.
I'll try to keep it quick. I am a Canadian expat living and working in Madrid for the last 8 years.
Que bueno.
I work for a small startup with a team of internationals, about 10 of us. We have French, Spanish, German, Russian, Dominican. It's a real mix. As we are all away from home and our family, we are really each other's family here. Now for my issue. It's true, we are very tight-knit. In the beginning, we would spend the day together at the office and then without question spend the evening sipping sangria, on a terrace, or doing some kind of social activity together. Weekend plans were a given, et cetera, et cetera. Now, however, people are getting married, having kids, buying apartments, and really growing into the next phase of life, which doesn't always allow for the same routine we once had. There's a friend in our group who really hasn't moved beyond the golden days of our group. She's an amazing, caring person, but her dependency on me and my husband in particular is beginning to wear on me. We work closely together every single day, and then she wants to be with us in the evening after work and always tries to make plans for us on the weekends. We politely decline many times, using some excuse or another. When it's time to walk home from work, we go our separate ways, and she will then call me to walk her home. We've had several instances when we were on vacation and she's texting us both every day, all day. So much so that we've had to make a rule that she lets us disconnect when we're away. Imagine Rana drinking champagne on the Costa Brava, and rather than focusing on the moment, we're interrupted constantly by incoming messages.
Imagine Rana.
Oh, sorry. Imagine Rana. The quarantine has allowed us a bit of space, but now as things slowly start to open, it's starting again. She wants to go for walks every day. She's back to planning our weekends for us, and I have to pretend I have a headache or that we are somehow too busy in our apartment to attend. My impatience with it is all stirring up again. I've spoken to her about it several times over the years. I've literally uttered the words, "I can't give you the type of friendship you need," and "I need more space than you." I've told her I often feel like there are three people in my relationship, but it literally goes one ear and out the other. I can't help but picture how our lives 10 years from now, when we started our own family, and still having to emotionally take care of this friend to this extreme extent. The thought makes me miserable. I don't dislike her either. I just dislike this much of her. Our other friends don't have this issue because their relationship at work is not on such a close level. So while they are her friends, we are her best friends. What do I do? Most people simply distance themselves from people who stress them out and limit contact with overbearing people, but I can't do this fully. I hope you can spare some wise words for me. Please don't use my real name if you end up reading this on the show. Kiss, kiss from Madrid.
Ooh, because they work together closely.
Oh, that sucks. You're just going to have to be unkind, I think. I don't know. I don't even know why I started talking, because I actually don't know how to handle this.
Yeah.
I mean, you've literally said you take up too much space in my life and I don't like.
It's a toughie.
It's three in this relationship.
But they work closely. That's the.
I know.
That's the rub right there.
That's really, really difficult.
It's a real toughie. But I think you just have to learn to start saying, "We can't."
Yeah.
"What are you doing Saturday night? Want to go have dinner at blah, blah? We can't. We have plans. What about after work? Da, da, da. We can't. Oh, that sounds like fun. We can't."
And if they say why, just say like,
We already have something else we're doing.
We have plans. Or, I mean, essentially, I actually even think you can say, "You know, we just don't feel like it.
I'm exhausted.
It's really mean, but yeah, you could say we just want this weekend to ourselves or whatever.
But also, is the truth?
Yeah.
It is.
I think
I think you can't do the headache routine.
I think, yes. I think part of the problem is when you start coming up with creative excuses all of the time instead of just reinforcing a very simple boundary, which is we can't. That sounds nice. We can't. Or I think when you start saying, oh, Saturday, let me check. Okay. And then you keep kicking the ball down the road and then it's Friday and then Saturday. Well, why don't you text me Saturday morning and we'll let you know if we're available. Okay. It's Saturday morning. Are we going to the farmer's market? Oh, I have a headache now. I mean, we can't do Saturday. Oh, we can't do this weekend. I think you have to pull it back to more of a bird's eye level at this point. Because I think when you start getting into the nitty gritty is where people's feelings get hurt. But where you sort of say, and you've told this person, I mean, this is a lonely person that doesn't want to hear those things. Because you've said, we can't spend this time. We can't. And look, and the other thing is, it sounds like you do all have a good time together. And that you genuinely like this person. And she obviously loves you guys. So that's lovely. But these kind of things take a toll on a relationship. And at some point, it's not just as simple as she won't leave us alone. It becomes we don't ever spend time ourselves. There's always a third person around. And that's kind of okay when you're in your 20s. But really, as you get older, that's not really.
I wonder if she could even say, the next time they ask her for weekend plans, just say, you know, we're really going to do weekends by ourselves. So please don't ask us to do stuff on the weekends. We'll let you know when we can. And I mean, it's sort of harsh, but
I think that feels hurtful. I think when you say there's a new policy, it's very clear what you're saying is we don't want to spend any time with you. And so I think as much as it would be nice to say it once, that feels a little bit harsh to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
But it's tough because she's going to be hurt no matter what, because it sounds like they don't feel like that she's their best friend, but she feels like they are her best friend. At a certain extent, the hurt cannot be avoided.
Yes.
And if you keep this going with you're really, because I think you're nearly there, you're going to start hating this person. Like you really just have to live in the discomfort for the first few times, and then you'll get better at it.
And also, I think
Because otherwise you're just going to resent this person, and that's not a road you want to go down because she does sound cool.
And then I think you start to, it's a little bit like,
doesn't sound that cool.
Yeah.
I guess not.
But once you keep saying,
can't we get her a boyfriend or a girlfriend? It doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the uncomfortableness of saying no will hopefully go away. And when you say no, it won't be so charged, but from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you getting used to putting this back. Like, I know you've already spoken to her about this, but like really it'll hopefully, you know, not be so steeped in, I don't want to say angst, but
I also think a little humor doesn't hurt if you can pull it off. I mean, every personality is a little different, but like I was saying about throwing kids out of my pool, you know, there are people that it would bubble up and they would say, you have to leave. Everybody has to go. It's driving me crazy that you still at my house. And you sort of think, what happened to you?
And they're like in their room panicking.
And then there's the version of, okay, everybody out. What do you mean? The party's not over. Sure it is. I just said it was over. Get out of here. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Go. I mean.
Who says the ha, ha, ha? You.
Is that the humor?
No,
when you say ha, ha.
The kids say ha, ha, ha. They think you're joking. And you say, get out of here.
Oh, they think you're
kidding. But I think when this woman calls you on the phone and says, can you walk me home? You say, no. You're 32. Walk yourself home. Stop calling me, ask me to walk you home. I'm not going to do it anymore. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a joking manner where you sort of say, okay, you know what, Veronica, again, Veronica, we've got two Veronicas this week. You know what, Veronica, this is the third time this week you've called me to walk you home. You're a 32-year-old woman and I am in my pajamas. Do not call me to walk you home again. Ha ha ha. Make sure you say at the end.
Also, when you're on vacation, just like leave your phone in your room.
Well, the other thing is, why is your phone at the table? Yeah, you don't have to answer any. That's the other thing is you have to.
Even for the walk home, you have to reset the
pace. I totally agree with that. You have to reset the pace.
Not safe. Not safe for her to be on the phone while she walks home. That is,
that's true.
It's actually, she should be looking around.
Yeah, not smart.
You know, not on the phone.
But I agree.
That's a bad idea.
Brian is right about, you have to also reset the pace at which you respond to her, which you've tried to do. But
because if you really do want more time in your relationship and you really do want less time with her, then really when you get home, focus on your, you know, relationship. Watch TV with your partner.
I texted you last night. Why didn't you respond?
But don't answer the phone.
I turned my phone off.
Yeah.
I'm trying a new thing. When I get home, I put my phone away.
Yes.
She's just used to the problem is they've been friends for 8 years. They're used to this. They're used to this
established
pattern. So it is going to, there's going to be a little growing pains, but you have to change the pattern a little bit. You got to change the pace of the pattern here. Yeah. It's on you to make the change though.
Yes.
And I would try to be careful about her. She sounds like a nice person and a lonely person. I would be careful about trying not to hurt her feelings while also establishing your boundaries. I do think that's entirely possible.
You could also do the thing, and this is not popular advice. I've used this one. I think it's a classic, and it does get you out of situations. You could load a gun, put it in your mouth, and every time she asks you a question, just say, do you want to ask that again?
Yeah. And then maybe we're back to Looney Tunes. Here we go.
Yeah, that's not pop. Yeah, I see why that's not popular. I see why that maybe is not.
All right. Now, should we do our giveaway?
Yes. Cool off. Yeah. Every week. We give away a fabulous prize that we're enjoying or have used, or let me put it this way. It's not something used.
Oh yeah. It's not,
it's
used.
Just that in our lives,
it's something we use, but it's not you.
It's not your trash.
It's not, it's not certified pre-owned.
Okay. Okay.
It is not, it is brand spanking new for them, but it's something that we've appreciated or that has made a difference.
That's
in one
so
of
lovely.
Our lives.
And so, yeah.
And so we give that away to the person who wrote in that we think deserves it most. And it can just be from
whoever
your heart. There's
you
no
feel
criteria
like
other
you
than I want this
to
person
it.
To get it.
This
so
week's
what's
giveaway
the gift, Rana?
Is a large cast iron skillet, which I think is a fabulous gift on a Kulop episode because Kulop is a terrific, terrific cook. Oh,
yes.
She's
she
a fabulous cook.
It.
She loves to cook. Scott had to learn how to bake so that she wouldn't leave him. Because she said, I'm making you a 40-course meal over here. You think you could throw a cake together? That's my interpretation
I will
of what happened.
Say quarantine first 7 weeks, we were making really good meals. I am out of that. I'm so tired of cooking. I am just like, ugh.
No, and now also everybody ate like the world was ending. And now, and then everybody gained 15 pounds. And now we all have to go on to summer eating.
That's right.
And excuse me, Rana, this is right on time because guess what is brining? I'm making a roast chicken tonight in
Get
my lodge, cast iron skillet.
What recipe are you doing?
No joke. I'm doing I forget her name, but it's the acid, fat, salt, heat lady. Yeah. And so it's the buttermilk roasted chicken.
Sounds delicious.
That sounds so good.
I know.
It's so funny. I didn't get an invitation or even a suggestion that you would leave a chicken thigh on my door. Or
no, I told you, Advina, that when I was done, I would give you what was left.
How many meals have I made for you in quarantine, Brian? I made every meal except for this one, probably.
I think you're right.
Well, anyway.
I'll send you, you know what? You know what?
That's
I won't
okay.
eat it first.
You'll send the whole
I'll
chicken over to you. You know what? Just take a picture. Text it to me. Text me a picture.
No. I'll send you the chicken and then whatever you don't eat, I'll eat.
Wow.
That's awful. Text me a picture of your chicken. Okay. In any event.
And when I said my lodge, I think
it's yours because it's going in your bag on your way home. Everyone knows that. But...
Well, it's very heavy,
but in all jokes aside, it's a fabulous pan, and it's such a utilitarian pan because you can cook it, use it as a skillet, you can throw it in the oven. It's a great gift.
Just make sure to season it, friends.
Very important.
Yes, which just means oil. I never knew that. It just means oil. Just do a little dab of oil.
Make sure the surface is always slick. Okay, so
baby,
Who are our options today, Brian?
Oh, okay. The person who was fired who wants to possibly talk to their boss. Okay. We also have the person who is abroad who wants to distance themselves
from the
pool
party.
And we also have the pool party gay man.
Adults only pool party.
Mm-hmm. Adults only pool party.
Somebody looking for satisfaction.
Distancing from friends.
And then Madrid distancing. Yeah.
Correct.
International shipping for Madrid.
Oh, good call. Yeah, forget that.
Throw that out.
Yep. it's a heavy pan.
It's a very heavy pan. I'm going to go with the first. I'm going to go with the person who lost their job. You know, at least no matter whatever you say to your boss, you'll have a pan out of this.
And if you pretend that your job is an egg or a dish, and you heat up that pan, you drop your food and it sizzles, and you can smoke a cigarette and look out the window and say, I think we know who won this.
I was really going to give it to the gay pool party.
Yeah?
Because I felt like they just moved into a new house.
Housewarming.
And that they could be cooking while the other... Because part of it is they don't want to give anything up to the neighbors.
Oh, so
it was sort of almost like an exchange where they got something so they could remember to be generous, essentially.
I have to say, going back to
the pool party, I mean, I completely get it. I don't want any itinerant neighbor children in my pool either. But if but if ever there was a time to be generous, it's an hour. So the deck gets wet and then it dries off and it's an hour. But
I still stick with my
think about
choice.
The kid, not about the parent, because the parent's a schmuck. But think about the kid.
That's true. I agree.
All right, you want to give it to the job lady.
I want to give it to the job lady, but you brought up the couple with the pool. And
they probably already have one, let's be honest.
Which is kind of funny to say, I won't let you use my pool, but here is a cast iron skillet. And that's
it's brand new.
I won't let you use my pool, but why don't you go roast a hot chicken in your hot kitchen with no pool outside your back door to jump in?
And then go watch Looney Tunes on HBO Max and teach your kid how to put a frying pan.
All right, it's going
face.
To the lady that lost her job, but I just want to circle back on her for a moment because I really think she needs to think about why she wants this confrontation and what it's really about. And that it shouldn't just be about hurt feelings. You have to be professional on some level and you have to understand that there's a bottom line. But if you have answers you want, that is your chance to get your answers for sure. Yes. Now, cool up. What we do is we read a cliffhanger. And we don't... Go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm sorry.
You know better than... Go ahead. You tell everyone.
We answer it on the Patreon. And so we don't answer it here, but we answer it on the Patreon. And they're always sizzling hot questions, speaking of Lodge. And my question for you is, Kulop, you're at Kulop everywhere. Is that right? On socials
I am Kulop on Instagram and at Kulop on Twitter.
Got it. Okay, so follow her for all the things. Watch Origin Story on Amazon.
Please.
Watch Bajillion.
Is Bajillion available anywhere? iTunes, maybe?
And Amazon, too. Yep,
and also Amazon. Across. Oh, fabulous.
Fabulous.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Assuming Amazon doesn't go out of business.
I think it will be okay.
It's looking okay.
It's looking really good. It seems like they're doing better.
Well, I'll see. Okay. If I end up going to Jeff's party, I'll ask him what this quarter looked like for him.
Well, you've never gone, Ron. I think it would be actually a big feather in his cap.
No, I'm not going to go during quarantine, but he can keep asking. His parents are very nice and very, very charitable. I will say that. Okay. They give to the Mount Sinai Parenting Center, which is a terrific, terrific organization. People are looking for a place to give to the Mount Sinai Parenting Center. They should think about it. Okay.
And it's a good time to remind people, if you join the Patreon and especially sauna privileges, $2 of every new subscriber is going to the Trevor Project.
So for June, that's what we're doing. Yeah, we're giving $2 to every. But we'll say that at the very, very end, Brian.
We're going to say it at the beginning.
And at the beginning. And in the middle.
I know.
But it's nice.
And it's called sauna privileges?
Yes. So Rana just let me finally start using her infrared sauna in her house, but I spilled tequila all over it, so it got
a regular Patreon is $5 a month. That's a carriage house all access pass.
Okay.
But if you want to use the infrared sauna and the Schwitz, and now that the weather is nice, have access to the pool deck, that's sauna privileges. And with sauna privileges, you get video of the Patreon show. And Brian, every now and again, releases a picture of one of his body parts.
New body part coming this week. Huh. Yeah.
And just so that I'm tracking it, people are giving it for this, of course, this extra content, but it's like giving credit for Brian to have more access to your house. Is that also motivation?
It is for me. Yeah. Because I have to say the privileges come and go, Kulop, depending on, because I have to be honest with you, Jadwina misses a lot of spots.
It's based on Brian's behavior. Yeah, he broke a glass of tequila and my sauna was out of commission for,
But that's because I was watching my performance. All right. I mean, none of that's wrong, but I think the tone is different than it should be.
Okay. Well, right words, wrong face. Okay. Dear Rhonna, Brian, and esteemed guest, hello from Ireland. So here's my question.
Oh, cool.
My family decided at the start of March to move to the countryside as we have two small children, one with an immune condition and is considered very high risk. My wife could not move down as she works in a supermarket while I'm a solicitor and can work from home. My wife had set up cameras inside and outside.
Solicitor's like a lawyer, right?
Okay. My wife had said, I think a barrister is like a litigator and a solicitor is like a regular lawyer. A barrister, they would show up in court, and a solicitor is someone who would more do your, that's a barista.
It's a barista.
Yeah, barista.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever.
My wife could not work and move down as she works in a supermarket while I'm a solicitor and can work from home. My wife had set up cameras inside and outside this house before COVID for security. She then started using them to check in on us. The problem is sometimes she is turning on the cameras and just checking in, and I don't realize until I hear her voice coming from somewhere. It scares the shite out of me. Sometimes she stays silent and just watches us, which is unsettling. She is very tech savvy, while I am not. I understand that she is lonely at the moment. We miss her too, but I guess I find it a bit creepy. I asked her to just give notice before she checks in, but she said no, as that takes away from it. My idea was to start putting books and other... She gets a boost out of scaring the shit out of them. My idea was to start putting books and other items in front of the cameras for some privacy hours because, of course, the only place... the only place I can handle confrontation is at work. I can usually let things go after a while, but this is continually putting me on edge. Am I being unreasonable? How do I stop being stalked in my own home? Help. Also, thank you so much for this podcast. The two episodes a week is one of the only things getting me through this. As a longtime fan of you both individually, this has instantly become my favorite podcast. Sorry if this question was too long. Warmest regards, Rachel. Oh.
Rachel, as everyone knows, we'll answer this on patreon.com/askRhonna. Yeah. Hop on over there and sit on the egg. I don't know what that meant.
I mean, and it sounded terrible. It really sounded terrible. Kulop, thank you so much for being with us. I am Kulop.
We love you.
At I am Kulop.
Yes.
Say hello to your... Fabulous.
Say hello to the mogul for us.
Sweet,
the last
dog.
Time we saw him, he came to Marblehead to be with us, but we haven't seen him since the pandemic.
Where was I during this?
You should talk to him about that.
You're probably
working. He said he was working out some new Catskills material at the Comedy Connection, but I didn't go down there to check it out, so I can't confirm or deny that for you.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, you know what? I'll keep you guys updated and maybe I'll have some advice. I'll need some advice.
Yeah.
Well.
You might have to send in a question.
You got it. And if you send it in KV, we'll know it's anonymous.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I love this podcast. I listened to the stay at Homekins episode. First of all, it's just so you guys are so funny, but the advice is stellar.
I'm telling you, it really is.
Thanks to guests like you.
I mean,
no kidding.
I'm a new listener. Thank you.
All right,
That's
we
so
love
sweet.
You. Stay safe. And maybe you'll send us your favorite recipe that you've been making in quarantine, your most successful recipe of all of quarantine. Because love to post it, because Kulap is really such a magnificent cook that I think it would be really fun for someone to see one of her recipes.
Her secret is she doesn't ever use whipped cream. She uses Cool Whip.
It's pronounced Kulap.
So I'm so sorry. I keep fucking into this.
Kiss, kiss.
Bye. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.